Amen. I'm asking, amen, our evangelist to come. Amen. Brother Main, you just take your liberty today. The Holy Ghost is here. And God wants to fill souls, amen, with healing and joy. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I wonder if we could begin to love on Jesus for a moment. Come on, if you haven't done so this morning, why don't you lift your hands and your voice? Why don't you let him hear your voice this morning? God, I love you. God, I worship you. Come on, lift your voice to him for a moment. Come on, he wants to hear your voice today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, we enthrone you this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We give you praise. How many of you are excited to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? Are you thankful that he give us another day? Are you thankful that he's called your name this morning? Hallelujah. That should be something that every one of us can lift up our voice and begin to magnify God. God, I thank you for another opportunity. God, I worship you today. Hallelujah. There is nothing like being in the presence of Jesus. For where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where there is liberty, that means there's deliverance. And where the liberty of the Lord is, that means there's healing. That means that there's nothing too large, there's nothing too small that you've walked through them doors with this morning that God's not able to touch. But I wish as somebody right now that you would begin to lift up the name of Jesus like he's already met that need, like he's already healed that. Oh, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My, my, my. What an honor it is to be able to feel God. I know there's many of folk this morning that would gladly trade our place. Amen. We're a blessed people that God saw fit for us to be in his presence one more time. And it's a fearful thing that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next breath. So while we have the opportunity, we should make it count. Amen. One more time. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen. And I give a high honor this morning to your pastor, his wife, the ministry that is represented in this house this morning. To each of our guests, I give honor, and I do admonish each of our guests and the saints of the Most High, you worship God the way you know how. You respond to God the way you know how, and God will do the rest. But don't you set on God. Don't you get intimidated when you start feeling them tingles or you start feeling that nudge. Don't be intimidated. You better be thankful that God's still nudging you. You better be thankful that you don't know how to react. But when you start feeling the move of the Holy Ghost, there may be a little step in your feet. There may be a little clap in your hands, a joy in your voice. So you respond to God the way you know how, and God will do the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. And I am mighty thankful today to know that we serve a living God. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And I do say once again, Pastor Crosswhite, to his good wife, thank you so much for the invitation of a young man to come. My family will be with me soon. They are filling prior obligations, but my wife, she asked that I would greet the church for her this morning. And Folks, I'm going to say this, and you're going to hear me say it many times. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for sound voices. We live in a world that is shaking. Everything is shaking right now. I am thankful for sound voices. This morning, I was awoken about 3:30 a.m. and I got out of the bed and I went into the living room. It's not a far walk. It's just in the little travel trailer. And I started feeling there to be a shift in the Holy Ghost. And everything that I had prepared, I said, God, I want you to move in the life of people that feel like you don't even care anymore. There is so many people in the church that you have been in the church for so many years that you don't even feel relevant anymore. We got new people coming into the church that they are watching the way that you react to the moving of the Holy Ghost. And if we can't get excited about what God is doing, how in the world can we expect there to be a retention of new folks? Because if you can't get excited about your church, nobody else is going to get excited. I think it's high time to leave yesterday's behind. I think it's high time just to begin to look forward. And to say, God, we are the people for the hour. It's time that we begin to stir that gift up that's within us. That's the Holy Ghost. And that you get so excited about living for God again. That you make God a priority one more time. A priority in relationship, a priority in responsibility. Because if you do them two things, I promise you, everything else falls in place. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I want you to pay attention to the wording there. To them which are in Christ Jesus. It don't say to them that know Christ. It don't say to them which profess Christ. It says to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. From the law of sin and death. Watch. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is of utmost importance this morning that you know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. It's not about church. It's not about gathering one more time. It's about God giving you an opportunity to make sure your relationship with Him is fresh. Oh, God, here we go. Now, go ahead and be seated. When someone is condemned by something, they feel an expression of judgment immediately. In other words, if you would, they feel guilty without even having a trial. Automatically, they feel alienated. They feel like they're under the magnifying glass of life. And really that guiltiness begins to eat from the inside out. And it makes you question whether God loves you or not. It makes you question whether you're good enough or not for God to touch. Because of one man who fell in the garden of relationship, now Adam and Eve would partake with the altering or the changing of a word, "Thou shalt surely not die." My friend, we entertain things that we shouldn't entertain because it's a gray area and it may not affect me, but it might affect me. We entertain so much to see the response of how I am going to react to the failure or the victory without knowing whether it's going to be my demise or not. I do things because it feels good to do them. But the end result is always that of displeasure. Right. The displeasure is ushered in, and now the displeasure is the separating point between you and God. Because you feel like you failed God, and you feel like there is no recourse with God. The disobedience would first, it would come into the garden, and immediately they would understand for the first time the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. The partaking of the opening of their mind to the sin and the righteousness of who they were created by. We were created by God, for one reason, for relationship. Relationship with God is of utmost importance. But Adam and Eve would now behold themselves naked because they would now understand. That they have failed God. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you failed God and you know you failed God? Come on, be honest with me. Y'all quit trying to figure me out because I'm done trying to figure y'all out. It's a race of life. It's a race of understanding that how far can I go? How much can I get by with until God pulls me and says, "You went too far"? How much, saints? I'm going to ask this morning, and I'm going to get somewhere if you'll just hang out with me. How much can you play around and still feel the tingles? How much can you hide and still look the part? The second thing they would begin to do was now, for the first time, they would recognize themselves as sinners. They would recognize themselves as sinners because there was the opening of the understanding in their mind that now they no longer had the ability to not feel conviction. It's a shameful place, elder, in my walk with God, when I go so far that I don't feel conviction anymore. Even when I am sitting on the pew, even when my skirt length is right or my sleeve length is right, or everything looks good on the outward man, but inside I become full of dead men bones. I become so distant from God while still looking the part. And I am of all men most miserable, the Bible would begin to describe us. The third thing they would do, and you and I are too familiar with this, they would begin to hide themselves from God. They would find themselves clothing made of what God made, and they would begin to hide themselves physically and in relationship because of failure. I am so thankful today to know that God's grace isn't dependent on whether I need it or not. I'm thankful this morning to understand that He simply just said, "My grace is sufficient." That tells me that God don't care about the mistake because He still showed up for Adam and Eve. Oh, I wish I had some folks that was awake this morning. Oh, I got to deal with it for a minute. that even in your failure, God is still reaching for you. Do you know how meaningful that really is? That even when I don't feel like I'm doing right, that God is still reaching? Because there's things that happen in people's lives that's not even your fault, but you absorb the responsibility to make it easier on everybody else. So condemnation starts eating at your mind. Condemnation starts making you feel like you're below people. And the weight of the world sits right here, my brother, because I can't get over what happened yesterday's. I'm going to get way off my notes this morning, but I'm going to follow what I feel. Because I can look in the mirror and I can recognize that God has changed the outward man. But I can't lie to myself and deal with the things that I lie my head on the pillow at night and I still toss and turn dealing with things from years ago. And I have to recognize I've never grown in God in relationship because I've never been willing to forgive what happened yesterday. I will never be able to grow in God while I am still stagnant in relationship. God desires relationship. But if I am entertaining everything else to substitute relationship because it feels good for a moment, it's going to feel good for a moment when we begin to substitute the Holy Ghost for just a little bit more gossip or a little bit more coddling, a little bit more playing around with things I don't want people to find out about. But when things happen to us, there is nobody in this house that you can turn back time. So I have to ask you then, why are you still struggling with things you can't change? Why are you still fooling around with situations that wasn't even your fault? And you separate from God. You begin to alienate yourself from God because you don't feel like you're good enough for God to forgive. Because you feel like I went too far for God to reach me. But God still shows up, sis. Even when family members talking, family members don't understand the way that I am living because I desire more than what they've ever had. Oh God. Young folks, you better hear Tim Main this morning. You better develop a relationship that is far greater than what mama and daddy has. Because I promise you, there will be times when things start shaking. There will be times of misunderstandings. There will be times whenever you say, well, brother so-and-so did this to me. And you have to be willing to get over it. Because in the place of fault, if you don't have a relationship with God, you will absorb the bitterness. You will absorb the understanding that I failed God so many times that now I can't even feel Him. We go to bed at night and we lay our head on the pillow and the only thing we can think about is not the peace of the Holy Ghost, but how far I am from God. And we love to stay there because it feels good. As long as I am running from God, but I can still be present in person, then I guess I'll be okay. One day, what if this is your last service? What if this is our last opportunity, elder, to really get in touch once again with the Holy Ghost? Son, I've been in church longer than you've been alive, but what are you doing for God? Yes. Oh, God, help us. I didn't expect this morning to feel like this. I come with a box of bubbles this morning and now it's all changing. But I have to understand that as long as God is reaching for me, then there's value still in me. Some of you elders, can I preach to elders this morning for just a few minutes? I didn't come with a mean spirit, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost, okay? You know what I miss the most about being a little child sleeping under the pews? Y'all know what I miss most about that? is to hear your voice in travail that I don't hear no more. Some of you young folks don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Can I preach? Some of you young folks have no idea what I'm even referencing right now. Do some of you elders know what I'm talking about right now? Yeah. For me to be a little boy tucked under a pew sleeping and to be coddled asleep by the welling and travail of elders to usher in true revival where we didn't have to deal with the ridiculousness of life because the elders were willing to stand up and defeat things in the spirit. I believe that our elders are dealing with condemnation so strong that it makes them feel like their voice is useless. When's the last time, and I don't want you answering this, when's the last time, elder, you got lost in travail? When's the last time that it wasn't just patty cake prayer? It wasn't just put the responsibility on the younger folks. It was, I desire for God to use me the way God can use me. I will never forget starting out in ministry, and there was an elder gentleman. He would drive me crazy. He was the most nitpicking elder man I've ever met in my life. You could never do anything right. Well, truth's already coming out. Praise God. It's right, boy. You almost stood up and turned around. This elder would always come up to me. Why can't you get right? Why are you acting like a bum? What are you doing? He'd walk up to me as it's pretty much every service. You still got the Holy Ghost? He'd try to figure out the flavor of my Kool-Aid, everything. He got all up in my business. He got on my nerves. But I would to God that there's elders that'd get a hold of some young folks. Hey, hold on. Because you know what that elder made me do? Well, he'd look at me and say, I think you a bum. He'd look at me and say that. He's a big old dude. I couldn't fight him. He'd say, you a bum, Tim Main. So I guess I'm a bum then. He said, no, you ain't going to be a bum long. And he would literally grab me by the hand. He'd say, let's go pray before church. I would kneel beside this elder. And he wouldn't pray, God, you put your hand on this young man. He would say, God, help this young man find a relationship with you. My life was a complete mess. It was a failure. But the voice of elders have grown silent. Because the elders don't feel relevant in the church anymore. I would to God that there would be a revival, elders, of the voice of travail out of you again. Because, sis, when the call of prayer begins to be so real, that it begins to shake everything, Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from God. They ran from God. But God still showed up. That tells me one thing, sis, that God still knows where you are. The tossing and turning in your bed at night and you can't find rest because of yesterday, it has to, look at me, it has to stop. No, hold on. I want you to hear me. You're valuable. And you said it within the last week. God, I don't know how much more I can take. It looks good on the outside, but God, I am hurting on the inside and I am tired of feeling like a liability. There's things that's happened that's not your fault, but you got to release it to grow. You're valuable. You hear me? Because watch this. How many of y'all appreciate this lady? I don't know you at all. I don't know you from Adam. I've never met you. But you got to start finding value in you. Because ending it's not the answer. When I find value in relationship again, I can understand for the first time that I am not God. Because, sis, we'll be so busy being enamored with everything else in life, trying to grow so fast that we never deal with the bitterness nor the hurt. Years down the road, it creeps back up of things that I refused to deal with. Would you lift your hands and love on Jesus? Come on, elders, one time, would you lift your voice with me? God, you're going to restore. Condemnation is trying its best to make some of you quit because you've lost your identity in prayer. When we lose our identity in prayer, condemnation begins to creep in. When condemnation begins to creep in, there is now no confidence in you to become what God's already calling you to be. Because I am too busy watching everybody else grow, and I am too busy watching the people of the church that I have forgotten how to have relationship. We better get the spirit of competition out of the church. We better get the contention out of the church. Because if I don't get the competition spirit out of the church, whoever's playing the piano, the drums, singing, or whatever can cause me to miss out with God because I become too busy watching everybody else. And I start being devalued. And you're doing exactly what Adam and Eve done. You hide yourself from God while finding fulfillment in the void. Everybody in this house, you're important to this place. You're needed here. What's your name? Cool, my name's Tim, Michelle. You're needed here. You hear me? You're important. You can be valuable. Yeah. But if you never see the value, now how can you be valuable? If you never understand that I can be what God wanted me to be, then I will never become what God called me to be. I become so busy being lackadaisical and lazy in the church that I put the responsibility on everybody else. Everybody else. I'll let them work and I'll reap the benefit. And then I want to know why I'm alienated. I won't show up for prayer. I won't show up for outreach. I'll let everybody do it, but I want the benefit of it. Y'all hang out with me if I can just follow what I feel for a minute. And I grow comfortable in the church, but I will never allow myself to be challenged beyond the complacency because condemnation. Condemnation is keeping so many people from receiving the Holy Ghost and growing in God. Because condemnation is what tells you when you do make a failure that you're done. That God hates you. That you're no longer welcome in the church. Don't you know the mistake? Don't you know the failure? Don't you know what you've been doing behind closed doors? Don't you know about who you've been talking about? Don't you know that you're the seed of gossip? Don't you know that you're the one causing people to struggle? Don't you know that you're the one causing the marriage issues? Don't you know that you're the one that people come to the church and you don't want to deal with them? Don't you know that your attitude, it all roots back to one thing, and it's condemnation. Because if we can never find a place of forgiveness, sir, internally, then we play God. I'm fixing to close. I feel something right now. Sis, if you would help me. condemnation can be so strong, sis, that I feel like I have failed to the point of no return. I want to ask everybody in this house this morning, what is something you would do for God if you know God would allow you to do it? This is the greatest fear that I have, Pastor Crosswhite, is you can ask people, what would you do for God if God permitted it? And people would say, I have no idea. I don't know. Apostolic Lighthouse, this Sunday morning, right now, it's time that we develop an identity in Him again. Every individual from young to elder, we got to get rid of some things. We got to begin to search our heart in this opening, beginning revival day. Because if God is going to do what God has said He is going to do, it's going to take us being man and woman enough right now to find a place of repentance. If we are going to grow in the next couple services, then we got to take care of some fat right now. Oh God, I feel it. Would you lift your hands with me one more time? Come on, come on, do that with me for a moment. Come on, if it's okay this morning, why don't you stand and why don't we fill these altars, please? No, nobody just sitting back, please. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care whether you're a guest. Come on, we need to pray right now. Come on. Come on, we're going to take care of some things right now. Come on, ladies. Come on, lady. Elders, please come, please. Come on, elders, find a place in repentance. Mataye andoro bo shatara kaye elomo shikataha.